28 to 32, and it's going to be read by Jonathan. These are verses which the Apostle Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, and he said that what happened that day at Pentecost was what was spoken through the prophet Joel. So Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 28.
And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And then our New Testament reading is John chapter 14, verses 15 to 27, which is going to be read by Shirley. These are words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples on the night he was betrayed, and he promises them the gift of his Holy Spirit. So John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15.
If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now Neil is going to introduce himself and proclaim God's word to us.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you. It's a slightly unusual way of being with you, but it's nice to be with you. My name's Neil Jeffers. I'm the chaplain at Pangbourne College, which is a boarding school just west of Reading, so quite a long way from where you are in Sussex. I've known Mark for 22 years, I think, since we were at university together, and he asked me if I would take the opportunity of this lockdown to preach for you this morning. It's probably the only way I would ever get to be with you on a Sunday morning, so here we are. I'm in the chapel at Pangbourne College, which is the National Falkland Islands Memorial Chapel, hence this stunning window you can see behind me. And using the advantage of this building, and we live on the campus, so we're free to move around, which is a great blessing during this lockdown. Well, we are 8-9 weeks, I suppose, into the lockdown, and many of you will be having a very different experience of it. Some of you might be enjoying it. There are people in the country who are. A little bit of extra free time, certainly not having to commute into work, whether that be London or some of the bigger towns in Sussex. Many people finding they're able to spend more time with their immediate family. Some people finding the ability to take up new hobbies or learn new things. But I guess probably more people are finding great difficulties with the lockdown. And even those who are enjoying some of it will be finding other difficulties. And I guess the biggest one is loneliness. Now, for some of us, that will be that we are completely on our own. We don't have a husband or a wife at home. We don't have children at home, parents or grandparents. We're on our own. And we're seeing people through a screen as we are now. It's better than nothing, but it's not the same, is it? But even those of you who are at home with your families, whether that's children or siblings or other relations, may be finding that same experience of loneliness. There's a very small group of people who you've got to know very well in recent weeks, but actually we're used to a much larger and wider circle of social interaction. Certainly here at school, having spoken to pupils again through a screen, many of them are finding it really hard. They're missing their friends. Some of them are even missing their teachers, us. We're certainly missing them. Indeed, we're often missing complete strangers. You know, one weekly visit to a supermarket might be the most that some of you are doing. Some of you won't even be doing that. And you are feeling very lonely. Now, today is Pentecost. And of course, at Pentecost, we think about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the church. And we usually preach about the Holy Spirit. And there are so many things that we could say about the Spirit, and many things you all have covered in previous years. But perhaps this year, more than any other, we can focus on that aspect, that actually Pentecost addresses our loneliness in the world around us. For some of us, that's not just a lockdown experience. Some of you will feel lonely all the time, again, because you're on your own, or perhaps because you're in an unhappy marriage and you feel alone in that relationship. Or you're the only believer, the only Christian believer in your family, and you feel lonely in that way. And so for some of us, that experience of loneliness goes way beyond lockdown. And Pentecost speaks into that experience of loneliness. And what it says to us is, although we feel lonely, some or all of the time, we're never truly alone. That if we have faith in Jesus Christ, then he is with us by his Spirit, and we are never truly alone. We're looking at John 14 today. You've had your reading, and it is that night before Jesus is arrested and executed, and he's preparing his disciples, the 12 apostles, for life without him, life after he has left. If you like, he's preparing them for the new normal. What will be their new normal? Life without him. And we see in John 14 two things. The first point will take us most of the sermon this morning, and then briefly a second one. We see that the Spirit is Jesus with us. And we see that the Spirit is Jesus speaking through the apostles. So first, the Spirit is Jesus with us. Now put yourselves in the disciples' shoes. They've been with Jesus pretty much nonstop for 3 years. Every day, every week, every month, almost every hour. There's been very few times when they've been away from him. And certainly for Peter, James and John, that inner circle of three who saw the transfiguration and were really with him for everything. They've been with him constantly, and he has guided them and led them. They didn't know where they were going, where they were living, where they were eating. They just followed Jesus. And the next day, although they haven't twigged it yet, the next day he's going to be taken from them. And they're going to be on their own. Now, they're not completely alone, as some of us are at the moment. They've got each other around them. But they've lost the man who has led and guided them, who has taught them, who has given them direction and purpose in life. They will be utterly lost. They will feel alone, yes, in a group, but alone without Jesus. And Jesus is preparing them for what that will be like. And he tells them what's going to happen. Look in verse 16 there. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus says he will give you another counselor. That word another suggests that it's meant to be like one they already have. And so the Holy Spirit is going to be like Jesus. He's going to be a replacement for Jesus. As Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit comes, and he is another counselor like Jesus for the apostles. He will be there for them. And Jesus says, he will be with you forever. He is the Spirit of Truth. Look at verse 17. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That repeated reference to him and he reminds us the Spirit is a person. It's so tempting, isn't it? Because when we use the word Spirit, we have that image of sort of ghostly figures or forces. And it's so easy to think that he is like the Force in Star Wars. May the Force be with you. This sort of impersonal, unreal thing that somehow suffuses the universe. But Jesus says him and he will be with you forever. He will live with you. He is a person of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Like Jesus, and in other ways, different. The rest of the New Testament calls him an advisor, a guide, a comforter, a strengthener. He is all of those things to us. And of course, that's what the word counselor means, an advisor, someone who leads and guides you and helps you. Just as Jesus has been to the apostles, so the Holy Spirit will be. And not just to the apostles, but to every Christian believer. And as Jesus calls him he, I assume we should too. So easy to fall into saying it of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? But he is a he, and we should call him that. And see what Jesus emphasizes about him. It is closeness and presence, isn't it? You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, with you and in you, both at the same time. Of course, in Matthew 28, just as Jesus ascended, he said, surely I will be with you always to the end of the age. But in what way is Jesus with his disciples forever? Through the Holy Spirit. We could say the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus with us today. He lives with you and will be in you, with you and in you. Now, it's so difficult for us to understand that, really, isn't it? In what way is the Spirit in us? It's such an unusual expression. With us, we can relate to, just like Jesus, a person with us, alongside us. But in us, well, unlike Jesus, the Spirit doesn't have a human nature. Jesus perfectly combined human and divine natures together. The Spirit is a purely spiritual being, has a purely divine nature, and so can be in us in some way. Very difficult for us to define. The closest I could really think of, and it falls woefully short as an illustration, but a pacemaker. We have a friend in her early 60s who was recently fitted with not a pacemaker, almost like a defibrillator, a mini defibrillator. She has a cardiac arrhythmia that could literally kill her at any moment. And she's been fitted with this tiny, tiny defibrillator inside, and it's attached to a small sort of Wi-Fi receptor. And if you press, you can just feel it under her skin. But she says getting used to it, it's very comfortable. And if her heart stopped for any reason, it would detect it. It would shock her back into life and keep her alive for long enough to get the emergency services to her. Now, completely different to the Holy Spirit in some ways, but that idea of in you, that wherever you go, he, the Holy Spirit, is with you and in you. Whatever you do, whatever happens to you, happens to the Spirit within you. And so you can never be alone. You may not feel it all the time. You may not feel he is with you, but he is. He is with us and in us. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. You won't be on your own without love, without guidance, without care in the world. And we have two sets of friends who have adopted children. And they had to go through a considerable process to do that. In one case, they were orphans, and in the other, not. In the other, just not wanted, sadly, not able to be looked after. But in both cases, a family, a couple, choosing to set their love upon these children and that they would not be left as orphans. They were on their own in the world for whatever reason. And these couples have chosen to love them, chosen to be with them, chosen to bring them up and care for them. And Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. Yes, I'm going to be arrested and killed tomorrow, taken away. But you still won't be on your own. And at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down on the apostles and the rest of the church, and you will not be on your own. I don't know if you've seen the film Unbroken. It's the story of Louis Zamperini. He was a US Olympic athlete who ended up fighting in the Pacific in the Second World War. I can't remember whether it was a plane or a ship. Plane was wrecked. And he floated for 47 days in the Pacific, surviving sharks and the sun and dehydration and lack of food with two of his friends. And after 47 days was picked up, but his suffering was not finished because he was picked up by a Japanese ship and put in a prisoner of war camp. And one particular guard took a dislike to him and took great delight in torturing him, in trying to break his spirit. Hence the film is called Unbroken. Louis Zamperini was a very committed Christian. And it wasn't just his spirit in the human sense that kept him going. It was the Holy Spirit. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was another man who talks of the same experience. Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran pastor and was involved in one of the plots to assassinate Hitler in 1943. He was imprisoned, spent much of the time in solitary confinement, and talks regularly in his letters about how with the presence of the Holy Spirit, he is never truly solitary. He is never truly on his own. And the Spirit sustained him. Sadly, after 2 years in prison, only 21 days before Hitler committed suicide, Bonhoeffer was executed without trial. And yet in both those cases, in terrible suffering and terrible loneliness, both men testified to the presence of the Spirit of God sustaining them. Now, amazingly, in John 16, just over the page from where we are, John 16, verse 7, Jesus says to the disciples, part of the same evening of teaching before he's arrested, it is for your good that I'm going away. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. Amazing, isn't it, to think that actually it is better for the disciples that Jesus is arrested, executed, resurrected, and then 40 days later ascends and physically leaves them. It is better for him to leave them than to stay. And he says it's better because it is only as he leaves that the Holy Spirit comes. So how can it be better not to have the human person of Jesus Christ with them? Well, two things, I think. Jesus, according to his human nature, was limited to one location. He had a real, physical, human body. And in that human nature, he couldn't be everywhere around the world. He was limited to one place with his disciples. And of course, as the church grew after the day of Pentecost, and thousands and then tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands in those early years were converted, well, Jesus couldn't have been with all of them. Couldn't have been physically present in his human nature everywhere. And so it's better that he goes away, because the Spirit can be everywhere and is everywhere. But also Jesus, according to his human nature, couldn't be in people. He couldn't inhabit and indwell his followers. He couldn't be in their hearts when he was with them physically. And again, the Spirit can be. In that mysterious way that we find so difficult to define, the Spirit is in us in a way that Jesus in his physical human nature couldn't be. And so we're never alone. The Spirit is Jesus with us. We are never truly alone. In lockdown, you are not on your own. You may feel that you are. We won't always feel the presence of the Spirit with us. There isn't a particular feeling that goes with the presence of the Spirit and that remains forever. So we may not always feel it, but we can be assured by the promises of Jesus Christ that we are not alone in lockdown. If you are the only believer in your family, in your school, in your workplace, you are never truly on your own, because Jesus, by the presence of his Holy Spirit with us and in us, goes everywhere with us. We are not alone. The Spirit is Jesus with us. We're not alone in our particular suffering, whatever that may be for you. It may be ill health, not necessarily coronavirus. It may be chronic, long-term ill health, arthritis or dementia. It may be a problem with your children, developmental problem, a health problem, a behavioral problem that makes you feel so alone, that nobody else really understands what you're going through. But the Spirit is with you, and the Spirit is in you. And he knows. He understands. And if we don't feel the presence of the Spirit, that's perfectly normal. I'm not sure anyone ever has a particular feeling that goes with the presence of the Spirit and remains throughout their lives. Some Christians gloriously will have particular emotional and sensed experiences of the Spirit, which will come and go. Many will never have that. But we should cultivate and practice the presence of the Spirit with us. And so speak to Jesus by the presence of his Spirit. That's what prayer is all about. He is with us and in us, not just watching from on high, but with us and in us. And so as we speak to Jesus, and it doesn't have to be a formal, florid prayer, but just telling him how we're feeling, sharing our frustrations, just as we would with a friend or a partner, just speaking regularly, daily to Jesus by his Spirit. And that develops that sense of his presence with us. The Spirit is Jesus with us. And secondly, and much more briefly, the Spirit is Jesus speaking through the apostles. The Spirit is Jesus speaking through the apostles. That comes towards the end of the verses we read. All this I've spoken, verse 25, while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. A wonderful promise. The Spirit will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. But it is a promise very specifically to the apostles. And the clue is that last bit, remind you of everything I've said to you. Well, I wasn't there. Jesus didn't speak directly to me. So the Spirit can't remind me of things that Jesus said in his earthly ministry, because I wasn't there. And it is ironic when some Christians try to distance or separate the Bible from the Spirit and say, well, we prefer to emphasize the Word rather than the Spirit, or we follow the Spirit and are led by the Spirit and less emphasis put on the Bible. When Jesus says here, what will the Spirit do? Well, when the Spirit comes, he will teach you, apostles, all things, and remind you, apostles, of everything I've said to you, which the apostles then wrote down for us in this book. And here it is. And it is a promise, remind you of everything I've said to you, that the apostles were guided by the Spirit accurately, correctly, to remember everything Jesus taught them. 3 years, day in, day out. That's a lot of teaching. And we wouldn't expect anyone to remember all of it without supernatural help. And Jesus says, the Spirit will remind you of everything I've said to you. Wonderful promise. Wonderful promise. And how do we today, 2,000 years later, access that problem? Through the word that the apostles wrote down for us. And it does dovetail with our first point. The Spirit is Jesus with us. And how do we cultivate that feeling of his presence with us? Well, yes, we speak to him, we pray to him, and we read his word, Jesus's word, with the confirmation of the Spirit behind it, leading the apostles into all truth, to remember everything Jesus said to them, that they wouldn't make mistakes, they wouldn't get things wrong. And we can now read what they said and know that that is Jesus's teaching, continuing to his church today. So wonderful things at Pentecost there. The Spirit is Jesus with us. We are never truly alone. We may not always feel it. We may not always feel him, but we are never truly alone. The Spirit is the presence of Jesus Christ with us and in us. In this new normal, he is with us. And the Spirit is Jesus speaking through the apostles to us. So let's cultivate that relationship, reading the word that Jesus left for his apostles to write down, and praying, speaking, just talking to Jesus by his Spirit. I hope that's an encouragement to you, or whatever the situation is that you're in at the moment, and that soon we'll be able to meet together physically, really, truly together again. But however lonely you feel during this lockdown, just remember that you are not on your own. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit is his presence with you and in you. God bless.